RadioInfluence.com.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to In the Trenches. It is a cloudy Monday morning right now, and there's plenty to talk about football-wise. But first and foremost, let me give some love to our title sponsor, Hess Spinal Centers. They provide the best medical care for you and your family when you go through a car accident. They have all the knowledge in the world, and you don't have to dig up all the different policies. When you're in a car accident, just go to Hess Spinal Centers, and they provide the best medical care, period. They have 16 locations in the Bay Area, 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress, call Hess, 1-800-618-HESS. So we're going to start this whole thing off by, if you guys want to ever email me and ask me a football question, it's IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com, and I'd love to hear from you guys, whether you like the podcast or not. I appreciate you listening. And I had actually one of the better questions I've seen from pizza lover, Eric. And you know what? It made me think. And there's not too often people's questions make me think. And thank you, Eric. You did make me think. So to paraphrase the whole email, he says he likes the show from 620, enjoys the podcast. And he said he's heard me bash Gerald McCoy for saying he's a leader, and I definitely have done that. And then I praised Quan Alexander for saying he's a leader. Now, I don't believe his words were, "I'm a leader." I believe his words were, "This is my defense." Those are two different things. If you say this is your defense and your name's on it, saying "I'm a leader" just means follow me. You're not claiming anything. And I don't know if it's as much the verbiage as it is my eyes. And you can see leadership. I don't see it with Gerald McCoy. I don't see the rallying. He doesn't seem to be the one that's congregating the players. That's Quan Alexander. Quan Alexander is calling the plays. Quan Alexander is the pulse of this Buccaneer team. He's the attitude of this defense. That's leadership to me. It's all about verbiage, but it's about what I see as well. Hardy Nickerson was a leader of the defense when I was here. Not because he said so, that's because that's the way it was. Everybody play like Hardy and we're going to be okay. If everybody played like Quan Alexander, we would be just fine. Okay? And, you know, I've caught some grief in the last few years, you know, about me, you know, keeping it real with Gerald McCoy. And I'm not going to stop. Because this is what I do for a living. I evaluate and I assess and I give my opinion. And Brinson Buckner, who had a great career in his own right with the Carolina Panthers, he is now the defensive line coach. And I want you to listen what he said. And I'm going to break it down, you know, sentence by sentence. And I want you to, if you want to, go back and listen to what I say about Gerald. It's the same thing. We're just saying it differently. That's all. Here we go. Gerald, it isn't about your ability anymore. It is about playing the game up here. And he tapped his head, playing up here with your brain. I've always said it's about instincts. It's about being an intelligent football player. I don't see it. Intelligent football players don't let the ball run right by them. Intelligent football players don't take six false steps. When I was talking to Warren Sapp, he understood exactly what I meant. I said, dude, after two steps, you got to decipher where the ball is. And Gerald has a problem with that. And why? I don't know. That's an instinctual thing. And he says, I sat down and watched film with him and told him the way you're going to improve your game is mentally evolve your game even more. Okay, we all know everybody's games need to mentally evolve. But the thing is, you know, when you're going to Pro Bowls every year, maybe the coaches in the past maybe didn't have the nutsack to sit Gerald down and say, you still have a lot of better. You got a lot of room to get better. Okay. And he says he's hungry for it. He wants it because for 9 years or 8 years, he has done the same thing because, you know, being successful. But has he showed up for his team? I've said that before. Okay. He gets off the ball. He gets, you know, a great jump. But what does it equate to? It doesn't equate to a lot of plays. It doesn't equate to a high-ranking defense. It doesn't equate to a lot of sacks. It doesn't equate to a lot of pressures because we were last in all that stuff last year. Absolutely last. And he said, basically, I'm challenging him personally, go to the next level. Good. So now we have somebody that's going to get in his ass a little bit and maybe challenge him, because I'm not sure we've had that coach in the past or that person in the past. So instinctually, I don't think anybody can help anybody instinctually. That's something you're born with. You're born with feel. If you love a sport, you study it so much that you can feel it. Gerald's been around a long time to not be feeling certain situations. I think you're born that. I think that's something that you either have or you don't. Not sure he does. I think he has some shortcomings in his ability physically, because he doesn't want to reach his arms out. And reaching your arms out is essential to make tackles when running backs are running by you, especially as strong as these guys are these days. So we'll see if Brinson Buckner helps Gerald McCoy out with his game. I personally love the fact that, you know, somebody's challenging him, because I think he's needed that for a long time. Now, I was watching the NFL Network, which I still watch every once in a while, and they had their NFL Network Top 100 from last year. We watch the Buccaneers every play, every game. So I believe we know, when I say we, me, you, all of us Buccaneer fans, we know the Buccaneers a lot better than the rest of the league, because the Bucs don't play on TV that much. They really don't. You know, you're going to see the Dallas Cowboys quite often. You're going to see the Patriots quite often. But nobody outside of Tampa Bay really sees the Buccaneers that much. And by what I'm reading here of the evaluation, people don't watch our team, I'm telling you. I want you guys to see what these guys were ranked, okay? Mike Evans was 29. Now, Mike Evans wasn't a 29th best football player last year. No way. He didn't get in the end zone enough. I'm a Mike Evans fan, but if you're going to rank people, and this is I thought all of their rankings of our players were wrong. Every last one of them. I can pick more than 29 better football players than Mike Evans last year, for sure. Mike Evans the year before absolutely deserved it. Last year, I didn't think he was that guy. Some of it was on Jameis, but, you know, you can't make excuses. Jameis was number 57. No way. He's not the 57th best football player in the NFL. He's not. He doesn't know the game like that yet. He does not. Even if you just talk quarterbacks, right now Jameis is a little bit above somewhere center, and it's not about ability. I'm talking about just straight, pure play. You can argue it if you want, but let me give you a statistic that's pretty relevant. The team's 5-11, and we were fourth in the NFC South. That's a pretty relevant statistic for you to be, you know, the 57th ranked player in the league on a 5-11 team. No way. Gerald McCoy, rated 52. No way. No way. Geno Atkins was rated behind Gerald McCoy. No way. If you watch football, that ain't it. Dominican Sue was after Gerald McCoy. Uh-uh. No way. And this is not me just bashing Gerald. I don't think Jameis should have been there. I don't think Mike Evans should have been there. And I don't think McCoy should have been there. Who's going to tell me that Quan Alexander is not top 100 players in this NFL? People just don't know of him. If you watch the Buccaneers, you know that Quan Alexander, Quan Alexander might be the best player on this football team right now. He might be. And he is thoroughly missed when he's injured and he's not in that lineup. So these guys don't really watch the game. The Lavonte David is more consistent than probably all the other names I mentioned. He's a consistent dude. He's always there. He's always playing hard. So I think the perception of our team maybe is it's better than it really is. And, you know, I'm hoping that these guys play to that level, but not from last year. I don't see it. I really don't. Now, OTA started today for quite a few different teams, the Falcons, the Lions, Packers, Rams, Giants, Niners, Seahawks. And you'll hear interviews about some of these players and, oh, I'm really excited to get back into football. Bull. Nobody likes OTAs. No, if you're a veteran player, there's nothing worse than OTAs. Nothing. And you hear names like Tom Brady is not going to be there. I don't believe Odell Beckham's going to be there. Aaron Donald's holding out this year. If you're Aaron Donald, why the hell would you go to OTAs, you know, in May? No way. Those days are done. Those days are done. These football players are all about preservation, and I don't blame them. You know, Aaron Donald's holding out. Aaron Donald makes $6.9 million this year. He's worth probably three times that, at least. Khalil Mack is holding out. He may be another guy worth about triple what he's making. But listen, it's a business now, and I don't hate these players for holding out, especially at this time of the year. No way. And, you know, when you hear these players say, oh, you can't wait to be back. If you're a veteran player, you know what you do with OTAs? You basically start from day one. So if you're running the same system you're running the year before, you're running like the first day of practice. So you're going back and you're watching film all day. And then finally, after watching a disgusting amount of film, they put you out in a boiling hot field, which you really haven't really been messing with a whole lot. And that's just not a good feel physically. It's, you know, you've been drinking and acting an ass for the last few months, and this is your first feel of getting back on that heat, in that heat. That is not a good feeling. I remember that feeling, and you usually find out how out of shape you were once you get on that football field. So the OTAs are starting. You know, they're bringing together the rookies and the free agents. So if you're a veteran, you know, the rookies and free agents got to start at, you know, the first page of the playbook. You got to get back to cadence, and you got to go back to lineups and alignment, and all that stuff is really boring. I mean, really, really boring. So those guys have to deal with that now, and they obviously got to deal with the heat. Vita V is going to find out what, you know, Tampa Heat is about. It ain't quite Tampa hot yet, but it's going to get there, and we'll see if Warren Sapp's concerns are real concerns, that maybe the kid is too big and he doesn't know if he's going to, you know, last in this heat. That's it's a long season, that's for sure. Now, that's a lot. It's going to be a key season for a lot of different players. Last year, it seemed like we were getting key injuries every single week. Richard Sherman, now with the 49ers, you know, he came off an Achilles. And Achilles is not easy to come back from, you know, especially if you're getting on in age and, you know, you play at a position which is all speed and change directions like he does. So we'll see if Richard Sherman comes back and can play well for John Lynch over there with the 49ers. J.J. Watt, another guy at the NFL's top 100 list. I think he was number 81. I mean, what did he play, one game last year? I don't remember J.J. Watt barely. I remember him getting carried off the field, but I don't think it was any later than the second week of the season. So J.J. Watt's one of those guys, and if you listen to me, you know, on, you know, the other station, and when I get on, I'm talking about football. When J.J. Watt was healthy, was the most dominant defensive lineman I'd ever seen in my lifetime. When he was healthy, now you can't compare him to Reggie White and John Randall or Warren Sapp because they did it for a long time. J.J. did it for 4 years, like a beast, though, like unblockable. Like I wouldn't want any part of that from back when. I don't want no part of that. But J.J. Watt's to the point now where two straight years, you know, he's missed almost the entire season for different injuries. And injuries don't go away. That's the problem. Like, if you miss time for your back and then you come back the next season and you miss time for your knee, you still have a bad back. Okay, so it's not any easier to come back. And when you miss that much time, it doesn't matter what you do in the offseason, you can't simulate that contact and that adrenaline flow. So J.J. Watt's definitely in a crucial part of his career because if he lays on the ground again, his career is done. It doesn't work. You don't get less injured as you get older, and he's getting a little bit older. He's not old by any means, but the body doesn't heal up like that. And he has a whole lot of weight on that frame. I'm not sure his frame is built to hold that much weight, and that might be hurting him a little bit. You know, Odell Beckham's coming back. Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, I'm not sure if he's going to sign a contract before the season. I'd like to see it if he does because that's going to be a boatload of money. Andrew Luck's a guy that I don't even know why he really is a star anymore. It's been a long time since he's done anything. And he's coming back from that shoulder surgery and that shoulder injury. And you don't even really hear about him throwing the football. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with old Andrew Luck. And Julio Jones, who wasn't injured, but for some reason, is really pissed off at Atlanta. I don't know why. And that's okay if you're a Buccaneer fan, because we don't want to mess with that dude. You remember the first game we played against him last year? They wanted nobody covering that dude. That was almost like when we were playing the 49ers way back when with Jerry Rice, and I think Martin Mayhew was trying to cover him. I'm not sure I wasn't covering him better from the bench, because it was, I think he scored 5 touchdowns that game or something like that, but that was way back then. That would never happen again, would it? It might. We do give up the booty on defense quite often. But, you know, football season is upon us, and there's still a lot of interesting things happening in the offseason. You heard rumors that P. Diddy wanted to buy the Carolina Panthers. They sold it to some guy, Dave Tepper, I think it is. He's a hedge fund dude. He's a part owner of the Steelers, so he's already vetted in. That good old boy network, they're not going to let just anybody in there, okay? You know, it would be great for their image to let those old billionaires, Caucasian billionaires, because they are all white, let a little bit of color in just for, you know, shits and giggles. You know what I mean? But they're not going to let P. Diddy in. Steph Curry was a name that was coming up in P. Diddy's camp, but they didn't let him in. They brought this Dave Tepper guy in. He's going to keep the team in Carolina, which is good. But I would equate it to almost President Trump and politics. President Trump doesn't really know anything about politics. I mean, I can say this. I know as much about politics as President Trump does. I mean, when he asked questions, I was thinking, I know that answer. So you don't have to know a lot about politics to be the president. So now I think the president, who is not a politician, is looking behind closed doors. He's going, hey, this is dirty. That's dirty. This is dirty. And he's right. It's just nobody ever told that anybody before. That's why the NFL owners are not going to let an outsider in. They don't want everybody seeing what happens behind closed doors, because that's not good. P. Diddy might be that guy saying, hey, wait a minute. That's not fair. NFL owners don't want that. And then it's not going to happen. They're not going to let them in. No way. Would it be good for the league? Absolutely. No doubt in my mind it'd be great for the league. But how you can't mess with 32 billionaires. They're too pig-headed, and they're too damn strong, and they're too darn powerful. That's it. So no black ownership is not going to happen. Still looking to see what's going to happen with Colin Kaepernick. To this point, I don't even know if he's even shopping at this point. You don't really hear much other than every once in a while hearing about the Seattle Seahawks, who are still interested, but it still comes down to the national anthem. And we're going to see if Colin Kaepernick ever puts a uniform on again. The thing, and I've heard people say, why don't you play in the CFL, or why doesn't he play in Arena League? It's not about his ability. If it was about his ability, he would be in a camp, that's for sure. At least in a camp. And if it was about ability, you know, teams like, you know, the Denver Broncos and the Buffalo Bills, who put, you know, somebody's father out there last year who can't throw a completion, Colin Kaepernick definitely gives you a better chance to win than those slappies. So it's not about ability. It's all about politics and collusion, really, if you really think about it. And doing something that numerous other athletes are doing, but because he was the first one, he has to fall on the sword for everybody. And he sure did fall on it, that's for sure. And he's still falling on it and still tearing him a new one. So still looking to see if Colin Kaepernick will be ever a sighting again. If he doesn't play this year, then the next era of Colin Kaepernick is going to come out. And we're going to see a lot of him, that's for sure. There's no doubt in my mind we're going to see a lot of Colin Kaepernick going forward. Now, if you guys ever have questions going forward football-wise, and once again, thank you, Pizza Lover, for this excellent, very, very excellent question, asking about McCoy and Quan Alexander. It's Ian Beckles at RadioInfluence.com. I also have another podcast, Flavor in the Year, which comes out on Fridays, and a little bit more of a politics and pop culture type of feel. But there's a lot of things going on in the NFL every single week, every single day. NFL Network is still, you know, they still have daily programs. I still watch it to see what's going on. So I like to keep you guys abreast of what's happening and all the different transactions happening in the offseason. And, you know, Bucks are probably done with their transactions now, but they're going to start OTAs and stuff like that. And I'm going to kind of pop my head in every once in a while and hopefully get a glimpse of some of the free agents and some of the rookies and give you my evaluation, good, bad, or indifferent. So I'm hoping everything comes together this year, and I think as Buccaneer fans, we all deserve a good season. I almost don't want to do it, but you can feel a little bit of, you know, it's tension, kind of, because of last year. I think last year was glee. It turned into tension, thinking we got again. And you just don't want to get got 2 years in a row, because I got last year, because I really thought that team was good enough to make things happen. And they won about half the amount of games they're going to need to win this year to make it to the playoffs. So once again, Ian Beckles at RadioInfluence.com. If you guys want to email me, I appreciate you guys listening in and loving football as much as I do. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence. This is a Sitting Ringside with David Penzer. Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Arquette. Do you remember at what point they mentioned putting the world title on you? And if so, what was your reaction?
When it first happened, I was like, are you guys sure? I don't know. I sort of said yes, because it meant that I got to travel and I got to be part of this crazy world and get to hang out with my heroes. And I didn't take into consideration how sort of disrespectful it was to the belt. I didn't really, take that into consideration, I just watched the WrestleMania documentary about, the history of WrestleMania. Right. And, from Cyndi Lauper and Mr. T on, there's always been a sort of celebrity component. I guess it's just the fact that I won the belt that was the big thing that upset everyone, or I wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever.
Sitting Ringside with David Penzer can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.